I wandered
lonely as a cloud. Cloud that floats on high. Cloud. That floats on high.
This first poem is called Dad's Oils. My dad used to paint landscapes when he was younger, and they were to be found around our house, the only art therein. We were all very proud of them, myself in particular. Once, when I asked why he had discontinued this creativity, he said, "You children are my paintings now," and I said that he was a lazy bastard. I support Luton Town Football Club, and this is a poem I wrote about them playing Middlesbrough a couple of seasons ago when they were in the same league. They're not now, but they were then. And this shows the ability of football fans to create humour on occasions, as opposed to mayhem. Luton versus Middlesbrough. 5 whole goals to Luton Town and Middlesbrough not one, but though their team was 5-0 down, their fans were up for fun. And when their consolation came before the whistle blew, they echoed Luton's "We want 6" with a modest "We want 2". Right, this next thing I'm going to perform for you is about performing on the television. And it's an actual thing that occurred when I was on TV. It's called Not Waving. I was on a TV magazine show with just discussed blowing the dust off poetry and the life of poetry beyond the grave. And I could see a monitor with us silhouetted on it. Backcloth to the credits, and craving a bit of fun and feeling I'd been unnecessarily grave myself, I waved to camera 2, and the floor manager said, "We'll do that once more, but without the waving, thank you." This is called Bonfire Night. The doors open, everyone comes out. Everyone is ready for fireworks, except the dog, Eddie. He is shut up in the sheddy. Even out of doors, they have indoor fireworks. Dad says it is better to be safe than dead. It's true, isn't it? The air is full of the smell of next door's fireworks. Mum says they are all very good this year. This year, Christopher is allowed to help his dad to light the fireworks. He is very excited. He is very proud. He is 28. The poem is called Beyond Our Kennel. This is about John and Tony. They go into a kennel and find it's a huge universe rather than just what they expected. John looks at the shelter that's made for a pet and tells his friend Tony, "I think we could get both of us in there, I'm willing to bet, but not very much. I am wary of debt." They enter the kennel and find that it's big enough for an elephant, donkey and pig. The kennel is ever so large. You can go for a trip in a barge. There's room in the kennel for flying a kite. Inside the kennel, it's roomy all right. There's room for the kennels all over the world. There's room for a boomerang willfully hurled by Hercules. There's room for an ocean and room for a breeze and room for innumerable steeplejack trees. John says it's roomy and Tony agrees. Traversing the kennel, they come to a train steaming and teeming with people from Spain, some from Seville, but Madrid in the main. The duo get on and they sit and relax. They both love a railway and up on the racks there's loads of potatoes in Hessian sacks. They could be potatoes, though I could be wrong, but we know they're potatoes before very long because one falls on Tony from out of a hole and Tone does a header and says it's a goal. I'm off to the buffet to purchase a tea. Do you want something getting, John? Nothing for me unless you're not charging your usual fee. This service is gratis, it's free of all charge. Well, I'll have a tea then, and I'll have a large scone with no butter and plenty of marge, an egg and cress sandwich, and if you can get a paper, I'll have one, and one serviette, an apple, an orange, some grapes without seeds, an old Roman flower pot, a street map of Leeds. And apart from a purpose, I've no other needs. And while Tony is gone and he's stood in the queue, the ticket inspector comes ticketing through and happily sings, "Happy journey to you, happy journey to you, happy journey, dear customers, from us in the crew." Tony re-enters, presenting to John serviette, tea, paper, sarnie and scone. I ran out of cash and I had things to do. Along with the purchase, I needed a poo. And all in a flash, they are out of the dark, but they're still in the kennel. And they disembark at a station that's furnished with only a hut, the kind you might find when you pitch and you putt, with a sign saying kiosk and one that says shut. They are met by the mayor, who gives them a bow. He says, "Call me Gus, though I'm partly a cow and partly Ken Barlow, but don't ask me how." And then there's the sound of a clacking of shutters, which comes from the kiosk, which looks like a hut, as the man says, "I'm open." And John says, "Yippee, Tony, I'll get you a takeaway tea." The man at the till's the Old Testament god. He's wearing a beard, but he's dressed as a mod. John's very civil and orders the tea, 2 milk, no sugar, but God pours him 3, lumping the sugar in copiously. "You take what you're given and lump it," says he. Joan of Arc enters. She's sitting astride a horse that is dog-like and blue as the tide. John asks her, "Were you aware that you died for a god who has such a cantankerous side?" Joan answers, "Not till I'd already fried." And turning to Tony, she says, "I'm a fan. I want you to love me as well as you can." Tony concurs with her intimate plan, saying, "Take off your armor and I am your man." Joan starts releasing the pieces of steel as Tony tells Joan how she's making him feel. "I am no longer on an even keel, and never again will I return to a world that is so much more familiar but infinitely less real." John gives his glasses a bit of a clean and finds there's some scone from an earlier scene. The mayor says, "John, is it scone, scone or scoon? And am I the Milky Bar dog of Dunoon?" Tony and Joan are all feverish now. Joan gets her kit off and Tony says, "Wow, what star sign are you?" And Joan says, "The plough." Divested of fashion, they touch and explore, swelling their passion to fill every pore, and then they start thrashing around on the floor. When things become quiet, John brings them the tea and says, "It's as well I have purchased the 3. And John sets off walking. He wants to locate his father in Luton before it's too late. The father who gave him the juvenile pain, the thing he comes back to again and again. But there's time for reflection. Conducting the search, he remembers his father was left in a church, and at last when they meet, he is empty of blame and is able to say, "I am glad that I came. You gave me grief. But now I understand. You were unloved. Because you were unplanned. Dad, I forgive you." Now give me your hand. You hurt me the same as your father hurt you, but for all of your hurting, your heart remained true. Now the hurting must end. Happy journey to you. Happy journey, dear daddy. Happy journey to you. What's going on in there? Somebody calls. It's the dog that inhabits these sizable walls. I am here with some friends who have come from afar. I want to explain to you who they all are. One's very bubbly, her name is Spittle. One's been knocked over, we call her the Skittle. One is called Kitchen, he's shaped like a kettle. One is called Restless. He can't ever settle. One is called Rusty, he's oxidized metal. One is called Nosy because he has got a tail with two nostrils right over his bot and he sniffs himself whether he wants to or not. Tony re-enters beginning to weep. The one of my dreams disappeared in my sleep. She left me forever but left me with so much to keep. She left me forever and left in a jeep and all of a sudden the kennels are squeezed. Tony and John, they are back on their knees. They're back in a world where you tend to find that what rises will also descend, where you wash with a flannel and watch what you spend, where a cow and a person don't usually blend, where a kennel's a kennel. And that's the end of it. This is called Me and My Friends on the Farm. Me and my friends on the farm, the cow and the horse and of course the potato. Me and the things in the barn, the hay and the hoe and the combine harvester. Thank you very much indeed. That's almost it from us. Just these final chords and notes to play for you. Susan here on the baritone saxophone. Your appreciation, if you'd be so kind. And Nigel here on these strings. Let's hear it, Nigel. The programme was produced by Phil Clark for the BBC, for myself, John Hegley, from Susan Norton, and from Nigel. It's goodbye, Joel.